Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
I'm Anthony Dragna. This is Politico Energy.
Keith McCoy thinks he's being headhunted for a new job. In fact, of course, he's being covertly filmed.
On Wednesday, in an explosive video published by British Channel 4, a lobbyist for oil giant ExxonMobil revealed what he said is the company's lobbying strategy to prevent climate policy from moving forward in the U.S.
The video connection is set up. It's time to go to work.
Hi, good to see you.
How are you?
The video's main star was, his name was Keith McCoy.
This is Ben LaFave. He covers energy and the oil industry at Politico.
He's been with them since 2014.
Moments later, Mr. McCoy will become one of the first ever executives to claim that ExxonMobil has aggressively fought climate science using front organizations to maximize shareholder profit.
I think a lot of what he said in the video, and we have to be careful because we don't know how much of a cut job it was, but there were, you know, some areas where he was talking fairly at length.
Did we aggressively fight against some of the science? Yes, but there's nothing illegal about that.
He was basically saying things that environmental groups have suspected, and in some cases have already been reported on out loud, like, you know, directly from the horse's mouth kind of stuff.
It's Friday, July 2nd, and today, what we learned from the video and how it could impact the emerging climate agenda. So obviously Exxon made a big splash earlier this year when they came out in favor of carbon pricing. But what did McCoy say about the company's approach on that issue?
McCoy basically said what every energy reporter has basically thought, that Exxon values saying that it supports a carbon price more as a PR move than as an actual policy.
Say one thing in public, do another in private. For example, it says publicly it supports a carbon tax. Keith McCoy says privately that's just PR.
You know, nobody is going to propose a tax on all Americans.
McCoy said it ain't, you know, it's not going to happen as far as a carbon price, but it's good PR, you know, in his view.
But it gives us a talking point that we can say, well, what is ExxonMobil for? Well, we're for a carbon tax.
If what he said is, you know, the actual, you know, what he said, it's saying the quiet part out loud. It's saying what everyone kind of viewed as Exxon's strategy in this, at least more cynical reporters have viewed, but he actually confirmed it. And then he went on and said, and this is where I'm kind of a little bit iffy.
It's getting our associations to step in and have those conversations and answer those tough questions and be the for lack of a better term, the whipping boy. For some of these members of Congress.
What gets a little bit more murky is the way, at least that I heard McCoy talking, he's admitting that Exxon did this, you know, we have done this, but he's not necessarily they're doing it now. The problem is nobody knows if they're doing it now because Exxon has basically stopped putting this information in its foundation's tax releases for the past several years.
Mm. He mentioned 11 senators that he called crucial for Exxon's operations. Who were they and why did he say they're so important?
Joe Manchin, I talk to his office every week. He is the kingmaker, and he's not shy about sort of staking his claim early and completely changing the debate.
Some of them were, frankly, fairly obvious. I mean, like
John Barrasso, Steve Daines, John Cornyn, and Marco Rubio.
But some of them kind of struck me as like Senator Sinema, I'm sorry, over in Arizona, who I'm kind of like, Arizona doesn't have a oil industry.
Some of them are less obvious in terms of being oil state senators, but people like Sinema and Kelly. Sinema is obviously a crucial swing vote. Kelly's going to be up in 2022. So is Maggie Hassan from New Hampshire, who's going to be up in 2022. So knowing full well, as Exxon undoubtedly does, that Democrats are going to have to hang together here, they're looking for senators, I would imagine, who are going to be, you know, put in politically dicey situations if Democrats move forward with these plans. Or I'm sure that's the calculus, at least.
Well, exactly. And that's exactly it. That kind of shows the plan of kind of divide and conquer among the Democrats. And it's like, you know, obviously with someone like Cornyn or somebody who's has obvious oil and gas, you know, policy issues directly affecting their state, it makes more sense as a lobbyist to kind of harp on those, you know, in the traditional sense. But Exxon cares about climate policy and therefore is going to reach out to senators where they can to sway them on Exxon's view of climate policy.
Yeah, you know, you have bait, you throw that bait out, You know, it's all these opportunities that you use, and to use the fishing analogy again, just to kind of reel them in, because they're a captive audience. They know they need you, and I need them.
So, Ben, nothing in this video is illegal per se. It's just more of a glimpse into how the sausage is made, I think. Right.
Yeah. You know, and it's kind of funny, you know, those of us who cover DC stuff are kind of like, well, yeah, Exxon is going to reach out. You know, like I never know how to take this of whether we in DC are too cynical or people who don't follow this regularly are too naive about how this stuff works, you know. So it's like they presented it as Exxon is, you know, its lobbyist is fishing for senators.
We've got this issue. We need Congressman so-and-so to be able to introduce this bill. We need him to make a floor statement. We need him to send a letter. Yeah. You name it. We've asked for everything.
But at the other extent, you know, like I said, I think it was a more the other things that McCoy said that on the face of it, you know, at least, you know, the way it looked in the video basically confirmed everyone's suspicions of the way the oil companies, you know, work. And this, I think, is going to, if nothing else, really push this investor movement to have companies disclose more information about who they are giving money to.
In the short term, Ben, I wonder if you think this video is going to have any impact on the direction of reconciliation and infrastructure talks.
I think it could. I think it'll give more pressure to how can we trust these companies? Look what their own lobbyists are saying. We need to give more money to, you know, electric vehicle, you know, charging stations or what have you, like things to get away from oil. You know, this industry is too corrupt. We need to do something about it. I also wonder if it could damage a little bit any kind of sway that Senators Joe Manchin and you know, Senator Sinema over in Arizona might have. I mean, when you have a lobbyist for one of the major oil companies saying we are targeting these senators and we talk to them quite often, that's going to make people think, you know, why are they saying what they're saying?
I will also say that senators are very wary of being seen as being bought and paid for. So I do wonder if it could reverberate the other direction as well, in terms of trying to show independence from these pressures from the oil industry. What has the reaction been more broadly in Congress, Ben? And I'm thinking in particular of Congressman Ro Khanna of the House Oversight Committee.
He's like threatening to hold hearings, right, on this or on lobbying influence on oil and gas matters. We have to wait and see to see how much of this is going to, you know, dissipate over the next week or so. Congress is going home for July 4th, you know, then they have an August recess coming up. But if anything, the lasting impact of this is going to be is people can say, you know, those things that we all thought we knew about the oil industry or Exxon in specific. Well, now we have video of one of their, you know, lobbyists basically spelling it out and confirming our worst fears.
For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And before we go, for years now, the move to allow the use of cannabis has been gaining steam, with 8 states passing some form of legalization since November alone. But despite the wave of social support, even in conservative states, Republican senators on the Hill are still cautious of passing a federal cannabis legalization bill. On this week's Deep Dive, Politico's cannabis reporter Natalie Fertig and Playbook author Tara Palmieri look into the dissonance between Republicans on the ground and their representatives in the Senate. Listen and subscribe to Politico's Playbook Deep Dive wherever you get your podcasts. Carlos Prieto is our producer. Raghu Manavalan is our senior editor. Our senior producer is Jenny Ahmed. Irene Noguchi is Politico Audio's executive producer. Our editors are Matt Daly and Gloria Gonzalez. Some of the music in today's show is composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Anthony Adragna, and I'll talk to you on Tuesday after the 4th of July weekend.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.